Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Daredevil Season 3, Episode 2. Please.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Oh man, Episode 2 of Daredevil Season 3.
It keeps going.
Getting in the thick of it. This is great. We're going to go ahead and give a spoiler alert, because we've already told you we're enjoying the season. Check it out if you haven't checked it out, but this is a spoiler alert for episode 2. So what happens this episode? Let's kind of give a brief description, so if someone's listening to this in the distant future. this episode is Daredevil fresh off of his first night out with his suicidal type of bender, goes out to fight as Daredevil and almost dies and actually tries to commit suicide by Thug, but he's back and he has cool conversations with the nun. And then we kind of get some connections drawn between him as a child. I thought that child actor did awesome.
Yeah, he did.
Really, really great. I don't know if it's the same one from previous seasons, but
might be. He looked a little bit older than the kid from season one.
For sure, and I think that's what they're going for.
That's the appropriate age range.
I loved hearing about a young Matt Murdock. That was super fun.
A little scrappy Matt Murdock that's always getting into fights. Just like, it's my calling to fight.
Yeah, he feels his calling to fight. And I said in our last, yesterday's podcast, I really want to get more conversations between Matt Murdock and the nun. And I kind of expected that to kind of be like doled out slowly, but I should learn better. They always give me what I want on this show. they jumped right into it. Literally, he's like laying on the floor recovering from his night out, and she walks in and has this conversation. And we really get him. He crystallizes why he was suicidal, why he wanted to commit suicide by Thug. And he was going out to test himself, and then he gets beaten in such a raw way. And he's like, if I can't do this thing that I feel called to, then I don't need to exist. And that's why I think he was out there ready to die.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Daredevil's always been so complex, especially Matt Murdock. Like, he's always at war with himself, good and bad, right and wrong, lawful and unlawful. He is such a complex character, and there's so much depth to him, and Charlie Cox has been doing an amazing job of portraying all of that depth and struggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially without being able to, like, look anybody in the eye.
Yes. Oh, man, that's one of the amazing things I think about his acting, is he's doing all this and doing that whole eye dart around thing, which I don't even know how you train yourself to do that. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
There was a thing that I read at one point that said that Charlie Cox had almost lost a different role that he was trying out for because he had trained himself to not look at people in the eyes and like do the Daredevil thing.
Oh, wow.
So much that it was like it was just a part of him.
I bet. That seems incredibly difficult to master. And I imagine you really have to work at it. And that's a weird thing to train yourself to do.
It's not weird when you're Daredevil.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed him as a kid. And also, one thing I really liked was how, when he's a kid, he kind of reveals that he has this doubt happening, and that it's kind of it's paralleling it to what's going on right now. He has this doubt as a child, about these different concepts, and he's not happy with the answers these nuns are giving him. But then when really pressed, and he's like, when the priest says you just have to pray, he breaks down and says, I do pray. I pray all the time. And it's obvious he's putting up this sort of cold logical exterior, that he's like pushing back with his logic on this whole faith thing. And then, but when really pushed to it, it's obvious that his faith is deeply rooted and that his prayers mean a lot to him. And it reminded me of what he's going through now, where he keeps telling this nun, you know, yeah, I don't believe he told that the people that he, the guy in the hospital, he goes to the girl and says, God didn't save you, I did. And like,
yeah,
he's having this like he's rebelling and having this sort of the same cold exterior, like rebelling against God. And but I think we're going to get that same breaking point where he's pushed, and his how important his faith is to him is going to become apparent. I thought that parallel was really, really awesome.
You know who's going to push him to that point?
I have a feeling it might be a little character by the name of Bullseye.
We got the beginnings of Bullseye.
I did not know. I knew he was in the season because I'd seen it in the trailer. And I mean, obviously, people who maybe not paying attention didn't know that, and maybe didn't even know he was Bullseye. But yeah, he shows up and immediately starts shooting everyone, and I was like, oh, this is how they're going to introduce Bullseye. I was like, I started seeing heads explode, and I was like, oh, there he is. Wherever he is,
that's him.
Whatever's taken out all these guys. So I was real confused. Are we supposed to believe that Nadim is dead?
I guess I don't know. He was caught in the wreck, and mm-hmm. he's at least unconscious.
Yeah,
possibly dead.
That scene, putting us in the shoes of Wilson Fisk in that scene, and having Wilson Fisk like have to struggle so hard to survive. Was such a master stroke for this show.
Oh God, in the monologue that he had on the way there.
Yes. Oh yes.
He was saying that he would do anything to protect his love.
Love is a cage, man. Love is the real cage.
Love has imprisoned him.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I can't even, man. that monologue was amazing. And the way he was talking, he's so sinister that I thought it might be that he was getting himself transported and that he was about to get, that he was about to have the thing attacked, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I kept saying, like, he's got this all planned. Right. All of this is coming to a head. And, like, as soon as he hits his, like, climactic monologue point, it's all going to blow up and he's going to escape and they're going to escort him out. But no. Yep. They took a couple of beats right after that climactic point and let him just kind of, you know, finish out and gracefully exit the monologue, and then it exploded.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. It was really beautiful. It was a great misdirection, I thought. And man, I just really love Wilson Fisk. I'm so excited to have him back. And I feel for him, like where he is now. I know he's an evil man, and I know that he's only doing this. Well, he's doing this because he loves Vanessa, which makes it complicated,
right?
Because like, he's not doing this for power anymore, makes him even more likable now,
right? It makes him a lot more identifiable.
Yes, absolutely.
Relatable—that's the word. Thing that I relate to him over though is that bench press.
Oh yeah, that bench press though.
That bench press, though, man, was cranking out 405 like it was nothing, and then
through the guy and it.
Like, oh my God, that's a beast.
Mm-hmm. I love the kind of, like, strong man that they make Wilson Fisk, and I know that's the character from the comics, but I find it believable. Maybe throwing 405 plus a dude is probably not really that believable, but
I mean, he just got stabbed and he was in rage mode. He went berserker,
right?
So
lots of adrenaline,
a lot of adrenaline kicked in. So it's possible. It may not be very plausible with how big he is. I'm sorry, I don't want to say as fat as he is.
Well,
but like,
he is. I mean, he has a lot of fat on top of his very big muscles that are apparently under there.
He's much like me to where it's like, you're a big dude, but there's also, like, most of that filled out is muscular.
Yeah, a lot.
There's a lot of fat on top, but there's a big core.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's the way I've always been too. Is just like big guy, but bigger. Yeah, stronger than I am. Just fat, which is good, but gotta get rid of this fat, man.
Yeah, kind of makes it harder to get through the fat because you're just like, I should be able to do so much more.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Wilson Fisk got stabbed in prison, and we thought that he was snaking his way out. It was all what it was the God, what group was
Albanians.
That? Albanians. The Albanians, that's right. It was the Albanian syndicate. And then fucking Bullseye out of nowhere.
Yeah. And he looks like Bullseye as a cop. I don't know. I don't want Nadim to be gone because I liked the setup they were giving Nadim. I liked how they were setting up a character that it looked like would probably turn.
Yeah.
But he was very relatable. Very relatable. I thought he was turnable, as they said from the beginning, but in a believable way where it's like, I just love when they put people in positions where you could see yourself turning. Like, I can see every step of the way he's gone through, and now he's going to put pressure on him, and he's going to turn. So I like the character of Nadim a lot.
That's what I was seeing, is like, you're showing me this backstory of a guy, and the trouble that he's going through, and like, he's put so much of himself, credit and otherwise, into helping his sister-in-law fight cancer. And like, he has driven himself into debt because of that. And like, that is so selfless. And he is struggling to catch up. And when you see him come into this point against this guy that probably still has a bunch of money and connections, like, you're thinking that he's probably going to turn, and you don't want to see that. You're like, come on, Nadim. Like, you got to make it.
Yeah.
You got to be the good guy.
You're rooting for him for sure.
And like, whenever they started the Nadim stuff in episode one, I was like, I had not paid attention for just a second. And I turned back and I was like, is this a different show? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it has a totally different tone than the other stuff that's going on for sure.
I was like, is Matt going to just like show up in this neighborhood?
You never know, that's, man. You never know with Matt.
Suburban New York neighborhood. They followed him into the office, and you know, when he grabbed his gun, I was like, oh, he's going to rob a bank. And then he's in, like, you know, downtown New York. And I'm like, no, he's not going to. He's going to rob some upper class people. Oh, no, he's just an agent. Okay. And then he goes about trying to get a raise in, like, a normal way.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, hey, I need a raise.
It sucks, man. That whole the whole catch 22 they've put him in, where he can't make more money because he owes too much money, and he's really trying to do everything right. That makes for a very interesting, plausible scenario for someone to turn. And again, we're talking a lot about him, and we don't. I'm guessing he's still alive. I think he's just unconscious in that car.
Yeah, I mean, they focus too much on him across two episodes to let him die so quickly.
Yeah, when he wasn't answering, I thought he might be dead, and I was like, man, that was a weird misdirect.
Right.
Like, two episodes of building him up, and then just to kill him like that.
Yeah, just to slip him out and put Benjamin Poindexter in.
Yeah. So, what do you think about, Foggy in this episode? Was interesting new information about his family that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I like his family a lot, and I'm really sad that his dad is having it rough like he is. And like, personally, I don't want Foggy to like give up his life as a lawyer,
right?
And just, you know, go cut meat all day, because that's not what he wants to do, right?
Well, the thing is, it's kind of a stupid decision. It's like, your family needs help, and you want to help them. As
hire
a lawyer,
somebody.
Yeah, you could hire someone. You could throw them a little money every once in a while, like. And I mean, obviously, there's lines to all that stuff, and there's like, there's boundaries
his mom
to
said,
set up.
His mom said, you can't do anything about getting old. There's no cure for getting old.
Yeah, well, I just mean that there are boundaries that you have to place in your life if you're going to help someone like that. But because you can't sink your own finances trying to help your family, it's not really the smart way to go.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened in Nadim.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's actually a good point. I wonder if they're trying to draw a parallel there in some way.
Yeah,
it's interesting. but you gotta protect yourself. I don't know, but that's also a life or death situation with his sister. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't try to help your sister with medical bills if she can't afford them.
don't help people with cancer.
But the whole idea of helping people monetarily is you have to help them from a position of strength. You have to have money to be able to give them money, and you can't destroy your own finances. And yes, that has happened to Nadim. He's destroyed his own finances, and now he can't move up at work. He can't make more money. He can't go on helping his family. Yeah, there's just there has to be a line somewhere where you protect yourself to so that you can go on helping others and doing good. And I think that goes for a lot of things, not just finances. But anyway, that's probably neither here nor there. That's probably not an intentional correlation. My real thought is just like, if your family's struggling, you could probably do more damage. And by damage, I mean good damage. You could probably do more damage to the problem by being a lawyer than you can by cutting meat. Yeah. Like, maybe you're not going to own your own thing, but still lawyers make more money than butchers, generally. At least.
Generally speaking,
I would think. So that just seemed like a weird false choice to me. Doesn't make sense that he would ever really consider coming home.
Yeah, especially since his brother said he can't make a sandwich to save his life.
Oh, did he say that about Foggy?
Yeah, his brother said you can't make a sandwich to save your ass.
Oh, funny, I missed that part. and then we've got Karen, both we knew personally she couldn't let go of Matt, but we also now find out professionally she hasn't let go of the Midland Circle
incident
and the story. So
yeah, well, there's another thing that's even bigger than that. We got some a little more dirt dug away on Karen's backstory.
That's true.
She said, you know, the small town that she came from, everybody thought that she killed her brother, or everybody said that she killed her brother.
Yeah. Do you think she killed her brother?
Probably not.
I wouldn't put it past her, though.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't think she would have done it. Like, I could see maybe her brother was, who knows, beating someone, beating their mom, or who knows, like, maybe the brother was a bad guy, and, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying, like, I would not put it past the show to, like, have some of that be false story. But it's probably more complicated than that. There's probably a reason that it looked like it was her, but, like, she never did say who killed her brother.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably. I really want to. Yeah. Really want to.
I
want to
know. Inquiring minds and all that.
I want to know. That's a Tarzan reference.
All right. Well, we probably need to wrap this up for today's cast, but lots of good stuff coming, I think, on this series. This season's been awesome. We'll be back tomorrow with more Daredevil talk. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast. mcucast@gmail.com or call us at 573-CAST-MCU to leave us a voicemail. If you'd like to support the cast, go to patreon.com/mcucast. And if you go there, you will get these episodes faster than they come out in the normal timeline, because we're going to put one a day out on the normal timeline, but on the Patreon, we'll be putting out hopefully most of them by midweek. So yeah. We'll be posting lots of these episodes this week, both on a regular scheduled RSS feeds and on Patreon quicker. So go support on Patreon. If you want to know what else I do, I'm at MatthewCarrollMusic.com. I'm a musician. Check that shit out. guys, we will be back very soon. Talk to you later.
Until next time, true believers.